Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Today on Richard Rossi Live, we're going to answer your questions. We're continuing a series kind of loosely based on some things I talk about in my book, Create Your Life, Daily Meditations on Creativity. And we're going to answer some of the questions that have come in. And by the way, if you want to send in a question, either call me and talk here live on the air or send by email, the guest call-in number is 347-637-2379. Again, 347-637-2379. Or email your question while I'm on air to my email at richardrossiactor@yahoo.com. We have a question from Linda in San Francisco. She's been working on her own independent creative project, film project, and said that she's overwhelmed with all the different aspects of what she has to do. And how do you, keep from getting overwhelmed when you have a big project that involves different variables, different parts? And I know myself from working on a movie, Linda, that a big creative project is like taking on insurmountable odds, and there's a lot of uncertainties, a lot of things you don't know. I just finished my movie on Roberto Clemente. If any of you guys want to see the movie, it's available on Amazon. It's called Baseball's Last Hero, 21 Clemente Stories. And, you know, it's a complex thing. A film is like a machine with all these different little parts. But keep in mind, the most important part of the machine of any project is the people. In the case of a film, the cast and crew. Rockefeller, the great wealthy philanthropist, said that he would pay more for a person that has the ability to work with people, to inspire people, that is worth more than any other expertise to him financially. I ran into an actress recently at the Studio City Library where I live, and she was telling me she was working with a director who was very dictatorial, and so morale among the company was very, very low. And she said, "Richard, oh my God, you spoiled me. You were the first director I work with, and I thought all directors would be like that. You never gave me a line reading, Richard." A line reading is when the director kind of just treats the actor like they have no creativity of their own and just says, "Say the line like this. I went to the door and opened it," and tell you, they kind of want you to parrot exactly how they say the line. But she said, "Richard, when we worked together, it was like working with real artists. We were also collaborative. And now this director's just trying to dominate everything and mimic exactly how they say the line. And, oh my God, it's unbelievable, And I just feel like I almost want to quit right now." So what ended up happening to this project was the dictator director destroyed the project because they were trying to control everyone and everybody. And these type of directors rarely get a good performance out of the actor. Some experienced actors can handle it a little bit better and still give a good performance in spite of it. But a lot of times with a director like that, most of the actors give a very kind of fake, stagey performance that's the same every single take, every single performance. So people are kind of like banks. You can't make a withdrawal from your bank account if you haven't put anything into it. You have to invest in it. And so if people are helping you in a volunteer way, they still have bills you have to pay, even if you're not paying, have the money to a budget to pay money. And that may be a listening ear and really respecting them. It might be praying for them if they need it. It might be, if they ask you for advice, giving the best advice you can give them. I'm not saying it's quid pro quo. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. But what I am saying is, because people that are real quid pro quo, "Hey, I did this for you, you owe me that," stay away from those kind of people. I've met those kind of people, and it's terrible. But, do know that you know, part of leading people in a creative project is that, you know, that you are a person who's not a narcissist and, you know, just using people, and that you're a person that cares about other people. Now, and that's the people part of the quote-unquote machine of the big creative project. But then there's legal aspects. There's marketing aspects. Now, somebody like Steven Spielberg or a major studio has all these other people dealing with everything else. But if you're an independent filmmaker, as you describe yourself, Linda, in your question, you're often working with a small budget and volunteers, so you have to figure a lot of this all out on your own. But just take one step at a time, you know, just one little baby step at a time, and pray for wisdom. And, you know, the golden rule that Jesus taught goes a long way. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I remember when I was overwhelmed making Sister Amy, my first feature dramatic film. And I was so blessed to have a great actor, great character actor. Rance Howard was one of the leads. He's the father of Ron Howard, a great director. And I remember Rance at one point when I was overwhelmed, he just kind of came up to me and just kind of said real softly in my ear, he said, "One thing at a time, Richard. Just take the next step. What's the one next step you got to do? One thing at a time." And it just calmed me. You know, it calmed me down. Like I was a skittish horse and I just needed, you know, I used to take care of horses when I was a teenager. And I remember if a horse would get a little worked up, sometimes you just have to calm it down, you know. So I hope that's helpful to you. And our call-in number, if any of you want to call in with a question or comment, 347-637-2379. Or email your question to RichardRossiActor@yahoo.com. We are live right now on Tuesday at 12:36. This link can be shared with your friends if they're not able to listen live. It'll be podcasted, so this exact same link, you know, anyone can listen to this that you'd like to share this broadcast with after the fact. It'll be on in perpetuity for people to listen to. And we actually get more listeners over the life of, you know, as future months and go by, more and more people listen to these shows than did live. So feel free to share the links. Okay, I have a question come in here. Let me see. Jerry in St. Louis has a question about dealing with criticism. He put out a book. Says he put out a book on Amazon and got some people just trashing his book and sending him nasty messages about his book, and he feels shaken and just feels like quitting. Well, you know, let me first of all say, Jerry, this is pretty normal. You know, like Grandpa used to say, the higher you get up on a ladder, the more your ass is exposed, you know. So the more you put yourself out there, the more that's going to happen. You know, the Grammys just happened, and Paul McCartney and Ringo reunited. I was reading something about Paul McCartney and Ringo, you know, reuniting, and there were a lot of positive comments, but there were actually people trashing them. Oh, they're so old, and, you know, they're just billionaires from the Beatles. Who cares about them? And they are not as good as they used to be. And here it is, you know, something as great as the Beatles, two of the Beatles reuniting, and there's people out there I read on the internet trashing it, you know. So no matter how great something is, people are going to send you nasty reviews and nasty messages. You know, I just put out my film on Amazon, Baseball's Last Hero, 21 Clemente Stories, and it's really got a cult following on the Facebook page. It's over 9,000 likes already. The Facebook page is facebook.com/Clemente Movie. We've got heard from people who the film, they say, changed their lives, really touched them. But there were some people jealous that we were the first to put a film out on Clemente. There's a lot of people out there talking for years and years and years they're going to make a film on Clemente. They've been talking about it for 40 years, and no one's done it. And so we finally do it. So, you know, there's some jealousy and people using fake names on the internet to trash the film. And usually they trash it around a couple criticisms. One is that it was not a big budget film. And hey, this film wasn't made on a big budget, you know, like the Jackie Robinson movie, which is true. They're absolutely right. It was made on a small budget. We all volunteered and you know, worked with the money we had. Or, you know, there's an old military saying, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you don't have. And the other criticism most common for those that are trashing it And it's, I think it's one person is doing it under a lot of different names, too, because they have almost word for word the same criticisms. But sometimes they'll find something historic that we didn't put in the film. You know, like our film's around Clemente's being number 21, and so they'll say, oh, well, he wore number 13 for a brief time in his career. Or we focused on one manager, Danny Murtaugh, who was the main manager when they won the two World Series. They'll say, well, you didn't cover all the other managers he had, you know. Not understanding that we made a film that had dramatic elements. It wasn't like a four-hour documentary of every detail of his life. But the bottom line, though, is no one can take it away from you that you did it. You know, we made our film as a labor of love, and it's reaching people. And, you know, a lot of the criticism is just crap because of these people that want to trash us for putting out the Clemente film on a smaller budget and say, you know, what have they done for 40 years? You know, talk without action is cheap. This man deserved the film. He died 40 years ago on a humanitarian mission. And our film's inspiring other films now. There's other people going out making Clemente films with what they have. It's inspired like a movement. It's not just a movie, it's a movement. But, you know, people are jealous, and they, you know, wanted to make millions of dollars making a big-budget Clemente film, and they didn't do it. Whatever their motive is, I don't know the hearts of men, but usually there's a motive underneath it. So, well, first of all, Jerry, you mentioned that some of these people have actually sent you nasty emails. I would recommend you block or delete, you know, or block people that send you direct volatile messages criticizing your book. I've blocked from my email or Facebook account people that rage at me or abuse me in some way, send me some sort of rant. And, you know, I'm in a peaceful place. I really suggest you find that spiritual peaceful place. You know, I spend time in prayer and meditation, and when I go into that kind of meditation place, there's such a peace, and I realize when I do that, you know, I'm bringing forth what I have to create out of myself, out of that internal peace. And the more you get to that serenity, that grace, that peace, you don't care as much what these jerks, these critics say. Emerson said, what I must do as a writer is what concerns me, not what others think. So, you know, endorse yourself for finishing the work. You know, I finished my film. The critics in 40 years didn't. You finished your book. The people criticizing your book on Amazon didn't, Jerry. Your book is out there. When you get criticized, it means you've done something. The only way to escape criticism, do nothing. Do nothing. You'll never please everyone. You know, you could go on Amazon. You could look up just about any great best-selling classic book or great film that's won Oscars, and you'll find someone trashing that film or book. There will be someone that gives it a one-star review and trashes it. You know, Shakespeare is considered one of the greatest writers of all time, but, you know, I don't know how many times I've been, you know, in English class growing up in school where kids are like, this guy sucks. I can't understand a thing he's writing. This isn't very good, you know. So please yourself. You're not going to please everyone else, so please yourself. Be true to your own voice. I made a film, Sister Amy, and it was about this female evangelist, Amy Simple McPherson. And she formed a denomination called the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. So they sent out an official statement at some point that they didn't endorse my film, you know, because I got into some personal struggles that she went through in her life. And they wanted to keep their founder on that pedestal, I guess. But so, you know, as they kind of warn their churches that they don't endorse the film and don't see the film, you can guess what happened, right? It promoted my film so much. I got overwhelmed. They have 32,000 congregations that, you know, they're telling not to see it. So I had so many messages from their pastors. Hey, don't tell so-and-so back at headquarters, but I'm really curious. Tell me about your film, you know. It created so many people wanting to talk about the film. And, you know, so when people criticize and protest you, we had this happen with our Clemente film where people started to trash it. But the people that love the film could see for the motives of the people criticizing it for what it was. And they just, you know, just fired back just promoting the film more passionately. It just gave so much fire to the people that love our Clementi film to promote a point. The more people trash it, the more it's just, you know, the Facebook likes went off the charts and the Amazon rankings went off the charts. And it seemed like every time they were trying to trash it and discourage people from seeing my Clementi film. And it was like they were the best promoters in the entire world. You know, if they were smart, they would just ignore it. That happened, too, when Scorsese made a film, Last Temptation of Christ. Very controversial, for those of you that are old enough to remember it. But there was a guy from near where I grew up who was a promotion guy for the studio. And he would go in these fundamentalist churches and say how this was a blasphemous film. It shows Jesus having sex with Mary Magdalene, which it didn't. It didn't show Jesus having sex with Mary Magdalene if you saw the film. Most of what they said was in the film wasn't even in the film. But it got all these churches protesting the film, and the film ended up getting much more attention. Winston Churchill said, if you have enemies who slander you, it proves you stood up for something with your life. And Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. Blessed are you when men say false, unkind lies about you. Great is your reward on heaven and on earth. Remember? So, good job that you're finished a book, Jerry, and good job that you're not going to let this criticism discourage you. I have another question that's come in about anxiety. And this question is from Laura in Ashland. Laura says that when she works on a big creative project, her anxiety level goes up. And she used to take some sort of anti-anxiety medicine, but then that kind of stifles her energy, her spark, her creativity. Laura, it's normal to feel anxiety when you're working on a big project. As I mentioned before, I felt that on my first feature, you know. And thankfully, Rance whispered in my ear, Rance Howard, one of the actors, hey, what's the next small thing you need to do, Richard? Just do that. Now, I think if you prepare, it helps your confidence level. You know, if you go through the situations in your mind that might come up, the questions that might come up, that helps. If you have a good working relationship with everybody you're working with, that's huge too. If you don't have the best working relationship with them, the anxiety can be worse. So hopefully you can have a good relationship, talk to the people you're working with. But realize it's not all going to go perfect. You know, there's going to be things that won't go right the way you want. Just accept that. When Steven Spielberg was making Jaws, the mechanical shark, it quit working. The shark was supposed to be in the film a lot more. And in the opening scene, this girl named Chrissy, a pretty blonde girl, remember how she goes out to swim and she's pulling underwater by the shark? Do you remember that? If so, you remember that you don't see the shark because it was broke. So Spielberg went under the water, grabbed her legs, and pulled the girl down. He had no choice. The shark broke. Wasn't working. The critics said, oh, what genius, what genius. I wanted to see the shark. He didn't show me the shark. What a genius. He waited so long to show me the shark. Played on my imagination. Yeah, it was a form of genius that Spielberg coped with everything not going perfect and still did the scene. And so if things don't go perfect, you just got to figure out another alternative. I've had actors not show up on low-budget shoots, and we figure out a way to do the scene without them in the scene. Even if it means rewriting it on the spot. Watch out for the what-ifs. What-ifs cause anxiety. What if someone criticizes me? What if someone sues me? What if the antidote to the what-ifs is to change your thinking along these lines. Okay, if whatever I'm worried about happens, I'll handle it. I'll work around it like Spielberg did with the broken shark. Yeah, I'd prefer things went my way, but if it doesn't, I won't make it a catastrophe. I'll deal with it. Now, here are four things to watch out for when you don't get what you desire. Four irrational thoughts, basically. And artists are prone to these four irrational thoughts. Number one, I should have it or it's awful. Number two is low frustration tolerance. I can't stand it if, fill in the blank. If they don't recognize my talent, if my project doesn't turn out the way I want, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Three is overgeneralization. Things never work out for me. I'll never make it. These are the people, the minute they get an obstacle, oh, and it's not going to work. It never works for me. And they just quit. A lot of people like that. They don't follow through. Number four, comparative and black and white thinking. Black and white or dichotomous thinking. If I'm not great on a level like the guys that won the Grammys, I'm not a good musician. I didn't win a Grammy the other night, so I'm not a good musician. I didn't win an Oscar. I wasn't nominated for an Oscar, so I suck. I'm a failure. That kind of thing. So what's your emotions? If you feel anxiety, depression, it's a clue you need to work on your thinking along those four lines. Because our human minds look for what's wrong. That's normal. Don't get down on yourself for having these negative thoughts, but recognize the what ifs. What if this or that goes wrong? What if the shark breaks? So what? Use your creativity and change those insecure what if thoughts into a secure thought. Like a lawyer, come up with an argument to refute the negative what if thoughts. Okay, here's an example of what if thought. When I was making my movie on Roberto Clemente, and I was facing what the issue that was is the number one issue that my critics criticized me for in the film, which is I made it with a no or low budget situation. So while I was making the film, I'm aware I don't have a big budget. A what if thought would be, what if my film with Clemente turns out terrible because I don't have a big budget and I'm not able to shoot it on 35 millimeter film? Well, turn around and do a so what, so what? Blair Witch Project was shot on video and cameras that were inferior to what I used, and what Jeff and I and other people that shot it used cameras that were better than Blair Witch, and Blair Witch was successful and made money. So, you know, there's always a way you can argue against those what-ifs and master that anxiety and finish your work and make a good project. I didn't say a perfect project. I said a good project because there is no perfect project. Okay. A few more questions coming in here. Let me check out the email. If you want to call live, it's 347-637-2379, or email your questions to Richard Rossi, actor, at yahoo.com. Okay. We have a question that came in from Gary in North Dakota about approval seeking. He said that he gets devastated when he does his work from his heart and people that he cares about reject it and don't seem to value his work. Help me with my inordinate approval seeking. Yeah, that can be to your own detriment for sure, Gary, you know, worrying about other people's approval. We want people to like us. We want people to like our work. And most of us, you know, at some time we'll have someone we care about or respect criticize us or reject us. And keep in mind, a lot of people that put us down are shadow artists themselves. A shadow artist is someone that wants to be an artist now, or they wanted to be an artist at some point in their past, and they kind of didn't do it. And so they feel a mission to put you down and act like they're the expert critic. Now, I'm not talking, Gary, about constructive criticism that gently shows you the way forward and how the work can be improved. A constructive critic might look at, say, my Clemente film and say, you know, on this shot, you had some light coming in from the window and it kind of overexposed the actors. You probably could have lit that a little better. Something like that. I learned from it, right? That's good. But I'm talking about watching out for the destructive criticism that sounds like something a playground bully would say, you know. And sometimes disapproval is indifference. The person that doesn't return your calls or emails and they do a vanishing act when you reach out for feedback. But get free of being a people pleaser. For some of us that grew up in dysfunctional families at an early age, we had to learn how to please everyone else and what everyone else wants and needs. And maybe you didn't pay attention to your own needs and how to stand up for what you want to say and express yourself and reach the point where you don't need every single person to like you. If they don't like you, they're a loss. Now, don't put yourself down for wanting people's approval. That's a normal desire. I mean, if we have no one's approval, we're not going to sell our work. We're not going to have fans. We're not going to survive in the world. You know, we want good reviews. Yes, of course, that sells the movie. But when I get a bad review, I can choose to not let the disapproval rob me of the joy and pride I have in my movie. I need a percentage of people to approve. I need some people to praise my work so I can support myself in my art and have, you know, a fan base. I remember David Cassidy, the pop star, said, if you have the approval of even 1% of the public, you'll have a great career. So, you know, for me personally, I have, 4,000 Facebook friends who, they give me some good feedback and approval and, help send money to help me make my movie on Clemente. Great, happy relationships are wonderful. And with no friends or no approval, we'll have a tough time. So that's kind of the balance on that. I'm going to try to squeeze in another question because we're quickly running out of time. Wow, this is a pretty heavy question that just came in from Dunn, North Carolina. Wow. Okay. This question is from Sandy in Dunn, North Carolina. She says she feels really bad about herself because this creative project she worked on was a failure, and she feels personally rejected, like a failure personally, and wants to comment on separating self-esteem from achievement. See, it's important for you to know that you have intrinsic worth whether you reach your artistic potential or not. My cat, I have a cat named Kramer, and Kramer's sitting on my lap purring. Kramer, the cat, has no need to justify his existence. He's not under pressure and saying, if I don't catch enough mice today, I'm a failure. Learn a lesson from the animals. Create, do your best, but accept there's no guarantees of accolades from everyone. But hey, even if you fail, endorse for trying. It was a worthy endeavor. If you achieve, great. But you know what, Sandy? Okay, the project you said failed. You know what? You have infinite worth without it because you're here, you exist, you're a child of God. You're a great creation of the master artist. And existentially, you have worth. You can't depend on your achievements to validate you. Because guess what? No matter how good you are, you'll fail sometimes. Terry Gilliam is an Oscar-level director. He had millions of dollars to make a film on Don Quixote. He had one of the hottest actors in the world, Johnny Depp, in the lead role. And he sets out to make a movie on Don Quixote. Well, I don't know if you've seen the documentary about how this movie fell apart. I think it's called Lost in La Mancha. But natural disasters destroyed all the equipment. The cast and crew got sick. Another one of the lead actors got sick. The film had everything to be a hit, and it fell apart. So, hey, sometimes you fail, no matter who you are. And then some people get success and they're not happy. Some like Kurt Cobain, who I absolutely loved. So his pain, his angst came through so strong in his music. But Kurt committed suicide if the coroner's report is accurate. I mean, he died from a shotgun thing. And we were all heartbroken, those of us that loved him. And he was on the top of the world. He was the band at that time. And I met a woman writer at a party who's been very successful, and she wasn't suicidal over her success, but it turned her into a terrible, judgmental, better-than-everyone-else type of person. And she was going on and on. She was such a know-it-all, and she was judgmental of the less successful people and the less successful writers, and she was unhappy and self-righteous. And she was saying things like, I've written this and I've written that. And if someone doesn't write, they shouldn't pick up a pen and start. And I thought, write? Is there a right way to write? So we mistakenly think if we have the successful person's outsides, the Oscar, the Bel Air Mansion, the gold record, that we'd be happy inside. But happiness is an inside job. And we can't do our work just for We can't do our work just to take our worth from that. Find spiritual peace with or without achievement. Okay, so that's my best answer to that question that I can give at this moment. I could go into that a little bit more, but we're running out of time. But hey, follow me on Blog Talk Radio and you'll get notifications of upcoming shows. We have some exciting celebrity guests that'll be coming up here in the next few months. And if you want to stay in touch with me, I'm on Facebook. Send me a Facebook friend request, facebook.com/RichardRossiActor. If you want to send me an email, it's richardrossiactor@yahoo.com. And I have some fans that, God bless them, put together. And this website has links to where you can get any of my work, my books, music, films, all that stuff. Just go to richardrossistore.com, and thank you to those that put that site together. God bless you. Until next time, thank you for joining us today on Richard Rossi Live. May all your dreams come true.